GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.
Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome in, everybody. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN Louisville. And Mr. Rabeau, it's nice to see you in person.
Good to be in studio with Dan Issel.
Right,
look at that.
Right here in studio. How about that? I didn't think I was going to make it. I have had a very frustrating...
We will get into that.
A very frustrating morning. But and it's not over. That's the worst part. How are you doing, Louis?
I'm good. I'm hoping the morning turns around for you. Had a nice last day of school lunch with
the
kids.
Yeah, you mentioned
yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Did you go to the Mexican restaurant or
we went tacos? That's
there
right.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. We went tacos. My wife was able to duck out between patients and hang out with us, so all six of us had lunch together. That is very rare
fun.
For us. Yes,
that's
very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My grandson got back from Hawaii.
Oh.
Completed his freshman year, and so it's we too had the whole family together this past week.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's great. So,
do you feel is there an elevation adjustment for you, or are you so used to being in Denver that you don't notice it?
No. Okay. I don't notice
it. Do you sleep better or anything? Is there anything like that?
No, I sleep. That's the one place I do. I sleep worse in Denver.
Got it. Okay.
When I get back there. But, you know, I'm old and have to get up to go to the bathroom so many times at night.
It doesn't matter.
You know,
right now, right?
I don't say. Listen, right off the bat, and what's the text line? Because I want our listeners to
the UPS jobs text line here is 437-9680, 437-9680.
Okay, I have a joke.
Did it.
And I want you to know, I want to know from you if you think this is funny, okay, and from our listeners.
Okay.
Because I told this joke to my son Scott, and he laughed out loud. And then I told it to Sherry. And she didn't crack a smile.
Got it.
So see if you like this joke. So a frog walks into a bank, okay? Now, I think Johnny Carson once said, if you buy the premise, you buy the bit. So you have to buy the premise. Frog walks into the bank. He walks up to the teller cage, and he sees that the young lady's name is Patricia Wack. And the frog says, Patricia, I'd like to borrow some money. And Patricia says, well, do you have any collateral? And he said, well, all I have is for collateral is this little porcelain elephant. And she said, well, that's not worth anything. You can't use that as collateral to borrow money. And he said, well, would you just go talk to the bank president? He knows my father, Mick Jagger. And Patricia says, okay. And so she goes into the president's office, and she says, there's a frog out here that wants to borrow some money, and all he has is for collateral is this little porcelain elephant. And what's worse is he claims his father is Mick Jagger. What would you like for me to do? And the bank president says, it's knick-knack, paddywhack. Give the frog a loan. His old man is a Rolling Stone. Yeah, I guess.
I'm not mad at that joke, but there are levels, there are layers of dad jokes in the world, and that is very dad joke. I mean, maybe you've gotten to a point of telling dad jokes for so long that you...
I think it's hysterical.
I knew exactly which one you were doing as soon as you said frog and bank.
I was laughing earlier because I'm imagining your wife going, frogs don't go into banks. Like, what are we doing here?
No, you're exactly right. Scott's reaction was like Avery, okay. And Sherry's was like you. Yeah. So I just think that's really funny.
It's not bad.
It's knick-knack, Paddywhack. Give the frog alone. All right. Well, we got the
enough
show.
Enough amphibian jokes on a Friday. There we go.
So we had one series closeout last night.
We had two closeout last night.
The hockey.
That's right.
The hockey.
Yeah. Getting a little more clarity in both leagues. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you watch any? Because I was on an airplane. I saw none.
I saw some of the basketball because I do our podcast on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it kind of cuts into my viewing time of whatever's going on Thursday nights, but I watched the second half of the basketball game. Yeah,
okay,
right,
all right. Yep. Was it? Was there ever any doubt?
Not to me. I don't think Dallas played really well in the third quarter, and made it essentially a 10-point game going into the fourth quarter.
Right,
and so you thought, okay, they're going to have to get really hot, or something is going to have to happen that's outside of the normal realm of how this game is going. They're going to have to be even better in the fourth than they were in the third, which is going to be pretty hard to replicate. And so, no, it never really got closer than that.
Yeah. Well, just looking at the box score, it looks like Spencer Dinwiddie had a great game. It looked like Luka was okay. And once again, he didn't get much help. So you're not going to beat every starter for Golden State was in double digits.
Yep,
so.
And the criticism of Dallas – from the national folks has been that Luka needs another player of his caliber or someone at least in that stratosphere,
exactly,
whatever, right?
And, exactly.
And I think you're about to say what I'm about to say, which is they might need two of them.
Well, they're not going to get anybody as good as he is.
No, that's right.
Those kinds of players.
Oh, and I saw some criticism last night of him that he's not as good as people say he is and da-da-da. I'm like, he's doing it 1-on-5.
He's 23 years old.
And he's relying on Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, like, what are we really doing here? I mean, you know, so, yeah, I'm not here for Lucas slander I'm at all. Reggie Bullock is starting for that team. They're in the Western Conference Finals. And people are going after Doncic? No way.
Exactly. And the little guard has made a lot of money. He's going to be a free agent. I don't know if Dallas will even keep him.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, but I think they're going to have to go out and get creative. And the only good thing about if you play for Dallas, you know that Mark Cuban will spend the money.
Yeah,
right. He'll take the penalties. He'll do whatever with the with luxury taxes and that kind of thing. And so I think players would want to play with Luka. Because he moves the ball around
absolutely.
And he plays defense.
He's not. I mean, you look at other quote unquote superstars. He's not a ball stopper.
Right. That's exactly it.
I mean, you look at some of the other people around the league, and they've got to have the basketball. He doesn't. He doesn't. So. Sherry just texted and said, "I rest my case. That's a bad joke."
There it is. Oh, man. Poor Sherry's on my team all of a sudden. That's not good. Just got to spend the weekend with you, not me.
Oh, man. So is it going to clear up for the weekend or is it going to?
That is what I've been told. I guess tomorrow's going to be awesome. Like mid-70s. Partly cloudy kind of thing, which is great. They got that nice mile and a half stakes race tomorrow at Churchill. And so, yeah, I'm hoping get some good weather. Tomorrow might be one of those days. My wife sees patients on Saturdays where I just grab all the kids. We go down to the track. If you get the right teller, 12 and under is free, so I don't pay for my kids to get in. It's $5 for me. And so all five of us can go for $5.
And the kids are patient enough to
oh, they love it, man.
Do they really?
Well, and you got to remember, I spoil them a little bit. Like, I know how to, like, get them in the paddock and stuff and, you know, do those kinds of things. And they know people in certain offices and that kind of stuff. So it's more of a, like, oh, we get to see people and we're doing this. And Dad lets me have a hot dog and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's good.
That reminds me when I was playing for the Colonels and our daughter Sheridan was just, like, 2.5, 3. We'd have dinner. And then Sheridan and I, to give Sherry a little break, Sheridan and I would head for Louisville Downs. Were you ever around when...
No, that closed in the 90s, right?
At least, maybe before that.
Right,
maybe before that.
No, I moved here in 09.
Okay. So you were way after Louisville Downs. But that was a fun little racetrack, a half-mile harness track.
Yep.
And we'd go out there for – and she was the same way. I mean, she picked the horse that she wanted to bet her $2 on when she was 3 years old. I'd probably be arrested for child abuse right now. But
well, it sold in 91 to Churchill. And they moved it. They made it the training center that it is.
Right.
And now Derby City Gaming is obviously out there on Poplar. But they made it more into a training center than anything else.
I was actually at Louisville Downs when I found out I'd been traded to the Baltimore Claws.
Wow.
What was amazing, Sherry and Sheridan and I went there for dinner. They had a really nice clubhouse there.
Okay.
And nice food. So we were out there, I think it was a Friday evening, and I had one of the previous owners of the Colonels before John Y. Brown bought all of it was an attorney in town here named Stuart Jay. And Stuart Jay came by the table and said, "You know what you ought to do?" He said, "You and Louie and Artis should buy the Colonels and then sell yourselves to the highest bidder in the NBA, and you'd make some money." And not a half hour after that, I was paged to the press box. And you know, when you're at a racetrack back then, no pay phones, right? No cell phones, you get paged to the press box. It's not good news. And it was Ellie Brown, and she said, "Dan, this is the hardest thing." I remember this like it was yesterday. She said, "Dan, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but we've traded you to the Baltimore Claws." And I said, "Ellie, are you aware that I have a no trade clause in my contract?" And she said, and I heard her say, "John, you better get on the phone." But that led to about a 2 week, maybe a little longer, journey going to Baltimore, actually practicing with the Claws for a couple of days, and then wound up going to Denver.
Right.
And of course, the Claws never made it to the regular season. They folded during the exhibition season. So, in retrospect, it was the best thing that happened to me, because a year later there was no Colonels.
Is Baltimore Claws a good name or a terrible name?
It started out the first name. Now remember,
I know it's a reference to all the
Yes. But listen to this. This is awful. The first name they came up with was the Baltimore Crabs. And they said, "Oh, maybe we better not go there." And they changed it. Now, this was a time when teams were folding all over the league.
Sure.
And Dave DeBuscher was the commissioner of the ABA at that time. And this was the old Memphis franchise that he basically gave to two rock promoters in the city of Baltimore. And it lasted about 3 weeks. And that was the end of the Baltimore Claws.
Were the Bullets eventually an expansion franchise in Baltimore then?
That I don't know.
Before we get totally away from this, because this is a good story, Louisville Downs, I think people don't know how forward thinking they were about wagering. It was the first place you could do two things: call in a bet.
Really?
First place ever.
Yeah.
And the second thing, was they offered the first around the country simulcast room.
Huh.
So you could sit there and walk to the machines, but you could watch the races. You could watch the track feeds from around the country, and they were the first place to do that.
Isn't that amazing?
So really important in the development of that culture now. If you go to Churchill and you're just on the first floor and you walk out in the back, Pimlico's on this time of year, Belmont's on this time of year, Gulfstream,
exactly.
Whatever, you know.
Sure.
But that only became part of the culture because...
Now, since you're a horse racing guy, I've got another bit of trivia. Do you know...
Call a bet.
Do you know... Call a bet. Yeah. You're right. I remember that. Do you know the first racetrack outside of Churchill Downs to take wagering on the Kentucky Derby?
Ooh. That's a good one.
And I was there.
Oh.
I was there.
I'm going to guess Keeneland then.
No.
Okay.
Centennial Racetrack in Denver, Colorado.
And now you can't even pair a mutual wager in Colorado, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can?
They've got to keep simulcast and TVG and all that.
Okay, thank God.
They built a track. I mean, it was almost like they didn't want anybody to come.
Yeah.
It's halfway to Kansas. When the track first opened, you could not get there on a paved road. You had to drive on a gravel road. But Arapahoe Park, and they do a mixed meet. They have quarter horses, even some Arabian races. Mm. But they race as few days as they possibly can to keep simulcasting.
Yeah, there's a place that runs two furlong race in Nebraska or Kansas just so they can have the license because they're required by the state legislature to run a race.
Yeah.
Not a race. And so I wanted to – I like to do this. So one of our things that we like to bring up with advertisers on the podcast is how many listeners we have in different parts of the country. And so one of the things I always bring up is we have over 180 cities in California where we have subscribers.
Wow.
Just in California, right?
Very cool.
Kind of a cool, all over California, people are listening.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Let's see how many cities in Colorado listen to the horse racing happy hour. Oh, wow. It's a lot more than I thought. So our largest market is Colorado Springs and then Denver. It's interesting.
That's interesting.
And then let me see if I can just have it download. There we go. Bye. A lot easier. I remember we were going through the numbers, and podcasting is very convoluted in its information.
I want to know more about podcasting because
you'd be a good podcaster.
I understand this show is on podcast.
It's on a podcast,
right?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And listened to our very first one together. Because when you're in Denver, your mic is different than the mics in here.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure I wasn't seven times louder or something or quieter or whatever. And so I went back and listened to that. But we are in 62 different towns in Colorado.
Really?
How about that?
That's terrific.
It's awesome.
I didn't know there were 62 towns in Colorado.
I know, that's insane.
Hey, Louie, a reminder, we want to thank George Timmering and the Bear Nose team for bringing lunch by the ESPN studios today. Bear Nose, of course, by the bridge, right across the street from the Yum Center. All the concerts before or after, you want to pop in there and have a good pizza. Carry out delivery or dine in. There are 14 area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
There you go. Yeah, that'll be coming by today. There'll be a moment where you don't want to be anywhere near the break room.
No. And
you may lose a finger.
And I've said this before, that there are people around this studio. I have no idea who they are or what they do, but they show up on Friday afternoon to eat Bear Nose Pizza.
That's exactly right.
I do know that. So. Yeah. So I want to tell you about my morning. Actually,
yeah, we need to dive into this for sure.
Actually, it started last night. So Sherry and I flew in. The only nonstop, I love Southwest because, I can get on close to the front depending on when I make my reservation. I can get a bulkhead or an exit row and have they don't nick you for every time you turn around. The bags are free. And so that's my carrier of choice. They have one nonstop from Denver to Louisville, and you leave Denver at 7:20 at night and get into Louisville at 11:30.
Yeah, something. I've had to do this before with flights to Fort Lauderdale or something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep. So I rented a car through, I probably shouldn't say the name, but I'm going to because I am very disgusted with them right now. It's called Budget Rent-A-Car. And so
we got what you paid for is what I'm hearing.
So we get off the plane and we go to the Budget Rent-A-Car counter and it's closed. There's nobody there. It's gone. And so we're staying at a hotel because we're going to Lexington this afternoon. And so whatever happened to cabs? No, there aren't any cabs anymore. There used to be at an airport. There was a cab line,
you know,
and you came out and you hailed a cab, and they took you where you wanted to go.
Blanket Baker the other day was yelling about Justin Thomas not talking about how he's from Louisville enough, which is the bottom of sports talk radio. And and he said, when you get into a taxi cab, the taxi cab driver says, "Where are you from?" And you say, "You're from Louisville," and I'm like, "Taxi cab." What year is this?
Well,
what are we doing?
Well, see that there again. I guess I'm old. I mean, I guess it's because
Uber
Lyft, and Lyft and all of that stuff. And so we come out of the airport, we get our bags, we come out of the airport, and we got no way. We got no way to get. So Sherry gets on the phone and finally gets somebody. And it was a very nice man who came and picked us up. But by the time we get, I mean, it had been an hour and a half after we landed before we got to the hotel. So now,
in that time of night, the only thing you want to do is just get somewhere.
Right.
And sit down.
Yeah, because I know it's going to be a short night.
Yeah.
So I say I'll get up early this morning. I'll go back to the airport and I'll rent the car.
Sure.
So I go out there and there is one lady that is running the counter, not for budget, for Avis and some other rent a car. There are 9 people in line to rent a car. So I stay there. I call you. I call Avery. Yeah, I said, I don't know. This isn't going very fast. I don't know if I'm going to be there for the beginning of the show. And so I finally get up there to the rent a car and I said, I've got a reservation. I came in last night. You were closed. I want to rent my car. And they said, okay, we have your reservation and we need to see your flight itinerary. I said, my flight itinerary. He said, yeah, we have to know what flights you were on coming in and out of Denver.
Pardon?
And so I get my phone out, and I try to pull up the itinerary. And, of course, since I flew in last night,
yeah,
I can only pull up the itinerary, and when I try to, you know, put in the confirmation number, it says, you know, sorry, call Southwest. And so after a good hour at the airport this morning, I still don't have a rent a car. And I walked out, and by the grace of God, a taxi is just trolling through the airport. And so I flag him down.
So a cab dropped you here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, damn. At that point, call me, man. I got a car. I mean,
well, you might have to take me
I'm back, going to, take
back
you
to the hotel,
hotel
this morning. And if Sherry's listening, honey, call around and rent a car if you want to go to Lexington this morning.
Yeah. Am I driving to Lexington? Is that what I
no, just heard? No. You don't have to do that. But it's very frustrating. Very frustrating. And you know, I know technology is great, but you have to do everything through the phone or through the computer. I mean, I remember when you used to walk up to a rent-a-car counter, give them your information, and they had a packet there with the key in it. And it took about a quarter of the time that it takes to rent a car.
I just had a really good rental car experience, so this is kind of interesting that you bring this up. Do me a favor. Find the Seinfeld rental car counter bit. It's like 45 seconds. It's perfect for this. Kind of encapsulates what you went through in a different sort of way. But I'm trying to think. Did we have Hertz? We went through Hertz. And Hertz has, and I'm only telling you this because they have a dedicated office in the parking lot at the airport here.
Okay.
And there are actually 2 guys working there all the time. I was there on a Sunday morning one time. There are 2 guys working. And they got me in, out, 20 minutes, done. Nice. Do you want this car, this car, this car? Like, very, very put together.
Yeah. Well, the reason I use budget, and usually I do use Hertz because, you know, they're kind of the bell cow of the rental car business.
Seems right.
I think that you're dealing with the best company when you bet. But when I made my reservation to fly here, Southwest said you want to book a rental car, and so here it is. Book it through budget.
I mean this as nicely as I can, but if Southwest offers that and budget is in on it, they should have your itinerary.
That's kind of what I thought.
It's a little ridiculous that you and Sherry don't have a car.
That's kind of what I thought. But I felt sorry for the lady that's working the counter. I mean,
of course.
I mean, the line When I left, the line was had to be 10 or 11 people deep. And right. and she's there all by herself renting cars for three different companies.
So I'm interested in this conversation, too. So Ron Flatter is going to join us at 11 o'clock, resetting the show a little bit. This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel. Mike Pratt, I'm Louie Rabeau sitting in alongside little Avery. What's up, Avery? But Ron's going to sit in with us, do some handicapping, look at Churchill. There's a nice – I love one of the stakes races at Belmont on Saturday. But he is a devotee, a lover of the show Seinfeld.
Yes.
Did you watch Seinfeld when it was on?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
absolutely.
Let's go to this clip. This is Seinfeld at the rental car counter.
When he talks, it sounds like he's reading from one of his novels.
Owen March. I never heard of him.
Well, he's not a baseball player.
Yeah, that's true. Well, so it sounds like it's going pretty good.
Yeah. Well, there is one little problem.
What's that?
He's 66 years old.
Next, please.
Gosh, go.
Can I help you? Name, please.
Seinfeld. You made a reservation for a midsize, and she's a small. I'm kidding around, of course.
Okay, let's see here.
66 years old?
Yeah, well, he's in perfect health. He works out. He's vibrant. You'd really like him.
Why do people always say that? I hate everybody. Why would I like him?
So what do you think? Could you go out with a 66-year-old woman?
Well, I'll tell you. She would have to be really vibrant. So vibrant, she'd be spinning.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have no midsize available at the moment.
I don't understand. I made a reservation. Do you have my reservation?
Oh, yes, we do. Unfortunately, we ran out of cars.
But the reservation keeps the car here. That's why you have the reservation.
I know why we have reservations.
I don't think you do. If you did, I'd have a car. See, you know how to take the reservation. You just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of
it. Oh, God, that's great.
That is great.
I just there's a great dynamic of Elaine, who's probably in her early 30s on the show as the character. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
She's dating a guy twice her age, you know, because she's in the publishing business and he's in, you know, he's a writer and this sort of stuff. And the real joke there, and I love because the show is so layered. Her dad was a writer, and there's the joke about, you know, you always you know. Girls, you know, date someone like their dad and, you know, like that kind of thing. And that's kind of the joke there is that she, you know, doesn't get along with her dad, but she's always dating guys like her dad.
So. Oh, well, a reminder that this is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt, Dan Issel, Laurie Rabeau, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Vision, everybody has one. That epic cross-country road trip, your dream wedding, that kitchen renovation for churning out next-level entrees. And the folks at Stockton Mortgage can help you achieve your vision. If you're a homeowner, then you may have heard that home values are on the rise in most areas. Take advantage of low interest rates to refinance your home mortgage and get cash out to finance your dreams. Give the folks over at Stockton Mortgage a call today or get started by going online at stockton.com. NMLS 8259, NMLS consumeraccess.org, equal housing lender.
If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band.
This segment of Stockton Mortgage's Sports Talk with Dan Issel, Mike Pratt, is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
It's knick-knack, paddywhack. Give the frog alone. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louie Rabeau on ESPN.
Tripling down on dad jokes on a Friday.
And this segment of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike forest trails, paddle through clear waters, enjoy a horseback ride, or simply soak up the sights and sounds of nature. Looking for more thrills? Hop on a mountain bike, race through rapids, venture deep underground, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
You know, it's interesting. We mentioned the two series getting wrapped up out west last night. So the Oilers defeat the Flames last night in the NHL.
And not to interrupt you, but I'm
please.
But I did. Is McDavid the best player in the NHL?
Probably,
right now?
Certainly the best younger leaning player. And that's exactly the point I was actually going to make. Is the shame of the NHL as far as so it's not like the NFL where you can be in any freaking you could be Peyton Manning in the middle of Indiana. right?
Yep.
And still do all the advertising and be the guy and be whatever, right?
Absolutely.
The NHL is cut a little bit different. So one of the things we talked about when I was sitting in for Bobby V about a month ago was the number one website in Canada is NHL.com.
Wow.
So it is hard to describe how big of a deal it is to be Connor McDavid in a place like Edmonton. Like, it's Elvis. I mean, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
It's like that. And so the guy can't, you know, it's like, you know, Elon Musk in Austin or something. You can't just step out and get a brisket sandwich or something, you know. And so it's good for the league that he is in these series now and is playing very well in them. But it's also very difficult for them because they're not the NFL. Right. So if you're Russell Wilson in Seattle, people are still going to see you on Sunday Night Football. They're going to see you in the 4 o'clock slot, right? Playing on CBS, whatever it might be.
Sure.
It's just the issue will be, you know, will people stay tuned to ESPN while the Oilers are making a run in the Western Conference? Right. My hope is yes, that people will discover him and go, holy crap, this kid can play.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, there's no guarantees of these.
But don't you think it seems...
Because hockey falls a little more like baseball, just to finish the point, where if you have a team in your town, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. So like Nashville has really, it is harder to get a Predators ticket than it is a Titans ticket.
Really?
And they play 38 more games a year at home.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
40 more games, whatever. A little less, I guess. 28, 30 games more at home. But when you have those teams, like people really care about the Reds in Cincinnati. They really care about the Tigers in Detroit, the Cubs in Chicago. But if you're outside of those markets, it's a lot less with the MLB. NHL's a bit like that.
But I think I think the NHL is gaining more traction. I think it's more popular today than it has been in the past because, you know, the playoffs are on TNT and ESPN, just like the basketball. It's really difficult, I think, to watch hockey on television.
Right, you were saying that, yeah.
Yeah, and so it that's one of the reasons. But I guarantee you, if you're not a hockey fan and you went to an NHL game, saw it in person,
the speed,
you'd be
the whole thing. Yes.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, we talked about the goal that McKinnon scored for the Avs
right.
the other night.
First half.
I mean, there aren't a handful of people on this planet, Louis, that can do that.
Right.
I mean, he skated through the entire St. Louis Blues team and had a phenomenal shot. The athleticism, and you talk about, you know, I'm always harping on the best ability is availability. That these kids,
they play.
I have Claude Lemieux. Do you know that name?
Of course, yeah. Hate that guy.
Yeah, because he knocked some Red Wing into the... Yeah. I can't remember the guy.
Darren McCarty.
There you go.
Yeah.
A dirty hit.
Yeah.
The Red Wing fans hated him.
That's correct.
But our trainer with the Nuggets was in the locker room with the Colorado team. And he said Claude Lemieux had a compound fracture of his hand. The bone was coming out the top of his hand.
Wrapped him up, put him back out.
He put his hand in a 5-gallon bucket of ice water between the second and third periods, pulled his glove on, and went out and played the third period before he went to the hospital to have his hand operated on.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that? The bone is sticking out, and he pulls his glove on and goes and plays.
This is my only hockey story that I have, is this pinky that I can no longer straighten.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I can't even do it. Okay, you can see the top.
Yeah.
My ligament snapped on the top. And
Playing hockey.
In the first period, I played the rest of the game, and then went to see the orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah. No, those jokers. Those jokers are tough.
It is a smart man's game played by maroons. I mean, it's just, I mean, the guys are out of their mind. But no, but getting back to hockey. So what's interesting is, and you mentioned this, you have to have, it's hard, I think you mentioned, because following the puck and your vision and that kind of stuff, right? Younger people like hockey for the same reason I think that they enjoy soccer, and that there's line changes during the play, so there's not stoppages of play,
right?
And you kind of just get movement all the time. I'm sure you like that part of hockey, right? Where there's, you know, you might go 4, 5, 6 minutes of back and forth action because of those line changes. usually every 45 to 60 seconds, something like that. And so with soccer, you at least know that there's going to be action for 45 minutes, and then they're going to take a 20-minute break, and then there's going to be 45 mm-hmm. minutes of action.
Yep.
And so I think the younger generation just kind of wants – because I'll be honest, I think part of it is the phone's here, the TV's there, and they're on Twitter or they're doing something else. And when they look up, there's action happening rather than –
Because
there's multiple screens for lots of people under the age. I mean, I'm 41. I'm doing that. So, you know, I think it's
that was going to be my point. When you go to an athletic, a sporting event, do you have your phone? Are you looking at your phone?
No, not at the event. But when we're, you know, prepping for this show, if I'm watching the NBA,
right,
I'm usually flipping through either Twitter or I'm reading an article or something like that, and then I'll kind of look up and go, oh, Steph's still really good at basketball. That's great.
but
Klay Thompson's never missed a three-pointer in the playoffs.
But you don't do that when you're physically at the event.
If we take the kids to a baseball game or something, I put my phone on.
I was watching it was the Dallas – not last night because I didn't see last night. The game before that was in Dallas. Mm-hmm. There were – I was watching, and there were between the two benches, there are seats that – I mean, they have to cost thousands of dollars.
Sure.
You're courtside, and you have a bench in front of you to hold your drink and your popcorn and all of that stuff. And I was watching this guy, and I just saw it, and then it really grabbed my attention. And every time they would run up and down the court, I'd look at the guy. This guy never took his eyes off the phone. He's holding the phone in front of him the entire game. Why would you spend that kind of money to go to a live sporting event and be on your phone the whole time? It makes no sense to me.
I'm with you. These are guys that I don't understand. The other guys I don't understand are the ones who complain about new stadiums and how nice they are and pine for the old crappy stadiums. Like people are out here that don't like the Yum Center, but they love Freedom Hall. But it used to smell like roasted German nuts. And I'm like, who cares? I mean, like, what are we doing? Like, it doesn't matter. No, but I'm going to get 437-9680. Kill me on the text line. That's fine. But the only case you could make is that all the seats in Freedom Hall are on the court. Right? I mean, there's not a bad seat in Freedom Hall.
Yeah, but...
Because there's no suites and there's nothing like that, right?
But when you're in the end zones, you're 100 miles away from the
that's
floor.
Fair. Yeah, that's
I
fair.
Mean, it's you're right. I mean, the sight lines are all good, but there are some...
There are some bad seats in Freedom Hall.
There are some seats that are a long way from the court.
Yeah, and so I would rather have the nicer, newer stadium. I understand it for things like, you know, like Commonwealth, right? That is Kroger now, Kroger Field. That sometimes the old stadiums, you just have to keep them because that's what you got and that's the real estate you got and those sorts of things. It sounds like they've done a pretty significant renovation down
Absolutely.
There, too. Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's nice. But the, you know, would you rather play at the fairgrounds here or at Cardinal Stadium? The answer is Cardinal Stadium, and it's not close.
No,
right? It's not close. And that's the other thing I don't understand. Can I tell a real quick story?
Yeah.
So you and I have one thing in common we've discovered. We both got married young. So my wife and I went to graduate school right after we got married. We got married on a Friday. Class started on Monday.
You didn't go on a honeymoon?
4 years into our marriage, we went on a honeymoon because I was making $10,000 a year as a teacher in 2003. Okay, so we're broke, and I mean broke.
Hey,
okay?
You don't have to tell me.
You were broke too.
I was broke for a year of marriage too.
So finally, we get to a point where we can actually afford to go on a little bit of a honeymoon. Okay, so we decide to go on a Michigan road trip during the summer. Okay, and then I said, "What do you want to do?" She said, "I want to do this. I want to go to Mackinac Island. I want to do this." I said, "Great." I said, "I want to go to a Tigers game. That's the only thing I want to do." She said, "No problem." We get pretty okay seats, third base side. We're sitting there, and the two guys sitting next to me are Detroit City firefighters, and they spend the whole game complaining about not being in Tiger Stadium anymore and how Comerica Park, they've got this. They've got this Ferris wheel for the kids, and they've got this and this and this and how terrible. It gets to like fourth, fifth inning. I go, "Honey, are you hungry?" She said, "I am." And I said, "You know what? I'll go get you something. Do you want something to drink?" She said, "Sure, you know what I like." I go up. And I buy my wife a Mike's Hard Lemonade and a fruit plate. And as I'm walking back down, I realize these firefighters are going to lose it. So I have my wife move over next to the firefighters. and I hand her her food. Oh, Tiger Stadium, the only food you could get was hot dogs, and you were lucky if the bun wasn't made out of cardboard, and you know, all this stuff. And my wife is, she's got her wits about her. She's good in social situations. She just smiles. She knows exactly what's going on. And she gets down to the last few pieces of pineapple. And she looks at the guy next to her, and she said, "Would you like a piece of pineapple?" And he goes, "Yeah, damn it, I would." And I just remember sitting there in this beautiful stadium with impeccable sight lines.
Yep.
Right? The and field is perfect, and they're complaining the whole time. Just enjoy it. How about the fact that you get to watch the best baseball players in the world
exactly.
in your town?
Exactly.
And especially, 80 times a year.
Especially now, Louis, because in the 70s, when they were building these new
stadiums,
they all looked the same. They looked like spaceships.
Yeah, Riverfront, and then Cincinnati had one, and I mean, everyone had
one. And now, they have really put some architectural design in it. I mean, Coors Field, the baseball
right.
the baseball field
example.
In Denver
beautiful.
Is absolutely beautiful. It's it's not brand new anymore, but it's newer and has all the amenities, but it feels like an old-time ballpark.
There you go.
And that to me is what's important.
I don't understand why people don't like nice things. I just don't understand it. I understand the memories, and I don't fault anyone. You know, for example, going back to the Freedom Hall example, if you grew up in the 70s or 60s and people were smoking in there.
Oh.
And you remember like it smelling like cigars or smelling like cigarettes when you were a kid. That's different. That's nostalgia. But it's not better than what we do now.
No.
It just isn't, right? Like you go to a Nuggets game now. It's better than when your early days with the Nuggets,
when you
right?
played at McNichols Arena.
Yeah, right.
Ball Arena is a whole lot better than McNichols Arena. But I go back even further than that.
Right.
How about I think they call it the Louisville Gardens.
The Gardens,
now?
Yeah.
That's where the Colonels played for the first 3 years. They played exclusively in the Louisville Garden. Now, you talk about a toilet.
Yes.
I mean, that place was unbelievable.
Right.
And then my rookie year, we started transitioning to Freedom Hall.
Okay.
I think we played about maybe three-quarters of our games in Freedom Hall, but still had like 10 games down at the Louisville Garden. And then the following year, when Artis came, we played exclusively at Freedom Hall.
In the early 50s, they played the SEC tournament basketball at the Gardens.
Armory. Yeah.
Yeah, at the Armory. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's some cool pictures from that. Yeah.
Yeah. My father-in-law moved to Lexington in 1947 and saw the Fabulous Five play at Alumni Gym, held about 3,000 people. Can you imagine? One of the greatest Kentucky basketball teams ever.
Incredible.
And they played at a place that held 3,000. Times have changed for
sure.
Yeah,
no, that's right. And so which stadium were you in at UK for your varsity games?
Memorial Coliseum.
In Memorial Coliseum by then. Okay, got it.
And you talk about a tough ticket. I mean, I think Memorial for basketball back then held about 12,500. And it was impossible. It was impossible to get tickets for those games.
Yeah, 8,500 seats. Yeah, that would be tough. It reminds me a little bit at Michigan State. We had Jennison. And Magic played in front of about 6,700 of his best friends in the late 70s there on campus. And so I can't imagine trying to get a ticket to see Magic anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and there's only 6,000 tickets available, that kind of thing. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think now, you know, they've renovated Memorial Coliseum, and they took out the Kraft Center, kind of hooks into.
Right.
So I think now the seating is down to 7,000 or 8,000. But back then, I think it was about 12,500, something like that.
Yeah, so for years and years, too, of course, they use these stadiums for not just for UK games, but they use them for the state tournament and that kind of stuff, right? And so Memorial held the state tournament for a long time. I'm sure if Pink is listening, he's got great stories of going down there. But the I'm always interested when they can keep these stadiums, because do they use it as a practice facility now, or how do they?
No.
They don't do that, so it's still there,
yeah,
but they
yeah,
but it's
no,
essentially.
It, they have the Kraft Center is it the Kraft? Yeah. It's unbelievable. They have their own practice facility. that they don't have to share with anybody. Now, out on the Memorial Coliseum floor, some of the women's games
are
there.
Oh, that's right, the Joe Kraft's.
Some of the volleyball games are there. They still use it for a lot of different events, but no, the basketball facility, and that's, you know, you've got to have that. You can't bring in a recruit today and say, here's our practice floor, and we have to share it with the girls team and with the volleyball team. And no, they have their own practice.
Gotta have that lodge.
As do the women. It's really unbelievable. It's a mirror of itself. The women have their own basketball practice facility, their own locker rooms. It's really a neat deal down there.
There you go. Do you know Joe Kraft?
I have met Mr. Kraft.
Okay.
Now his wife,
Mr. Kraft. All right.
His wife. Is she not running for governor, or is going to run for governor? Or?
She was the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
Under President Trump, and so she.
I thought I heard that she was going to run for governor.
Okay,
but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what if Kelly's running or not, but. Who knows? I'm not up on those things. I do think the state of Kentucky does something really right. I like that our governor election is not in the same year as national elections.
Yeah.
It makes it a state election rather than a referendum on national politics.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
I like that we do that.
And I also like that now the governor can succeed himself. You know, for years.
Yeah,
it was
a one-termer, right?
Yeah.
5 years? Is that right?
No, 4 years.
It was four,
four
done.
Years.
Wow, okay.
And then you were out. You couldn't succeed yourself. Now, we had governors. I think Governor Chandler was governor and then did something else, baseball commissioner,
yeah,
maybe,
right.
Or something, and then ran for governor again. And the reason, Louis, that it never passed was because nobody wanted to say, you know, let's change this, and I want to be eligible to run. And finally, it was my dear friend Brereton Jones who said, we need to change this.
But I'm not running. Boom, okay.
So take me out of the equation, and let's get this right so that if a guy is doing a good job, or a gal,
right,
is doing a good job, they can, you know, be voted in for 4 more years. And he said, I'm out, but let's change this going forward. And that's exactly,
well, good for him.
That's,
yeah,
exactly what happened.
Well, there you go.
So.
Yeah, sounds nice. By the way, it's nice that the players have a nice practice facility. No one should want them to have to go back to practicing in the basement of the Coliseum or whatever it is that you all had to do. So it's okay. Wildcat Lodge. Have we got an update on the rental car situation?
Yes, I think
your poor wife's scrambling for a car.
Sherry said maybe Louis can swing by here, pick me up, and drop us off at the baggage claim.
Let's go. All right. I told you. Well, Sherry on a Friday. Let's go.
Oh, man. So I told you when I came in here, because of my terrible day, morning, this is the least prepared I've ever been to do this show. But
yeah.
Coming up in the next hour, we're going to do the horse racing. And so what tracks are we going to look at?
We're going to look at the late pick four tomorrow, which includes the Kirtana Overnight Stakes at Churchill Downs. That's a mile and a half on the turf for fillies and mares. And then we're going to look at a race out at Belmont that is called the Soaring Softly. It's a grade three.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Soaring Softly was a terrific turf mare, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so it's for three-year-old fillies. It's a grade three. It's on that literally the wider turf course there. It's called the Widener Turf Course.
Right.
And we'll talk about that. That's race nine at Belmont tomorrow.
Soaring Softly, was that Darby Dan? Who owned Soaring Softly?
Oh, boy.
I think James Toner. That's going back. I don't know. But
that's a question for Ron Flatter, who will join us in the next hour from Horse Racing Nation at Ron Flatter on Twitter if you want to go find his work there, and the Ron Flatter podcast.
Ooh.
Which I'll be on this week or next. I can't remember. So there you go.
Cool. All right.
The owner of that group was the Phillips Racing Partnership.
Philip, that's
Darby. She was foaled in 1995.
That's Darby Dan.
Nine wins and 16 lifetime starts. That's that's a hell of a horse.
Yeah. Phillips is Mr. Galbraith's grandson. And yeah. Mr. Galbraith was...
She won the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, the Grade 1, in 1999 at Gulfstream Park. So her last race. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Hey, a reminder that this is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN Louisville. And this segment of the show has been brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than home. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.